I love that in this season, in this new year, we get to celebrate the newness of what God wants to do. And I know it's just a calendar thing, but it's something I believe it's an intentional time where we can take a step back, reflect, and see what we want to do with our life. See how we want to assess our life. Because this is a moment in time where people are evaluating what they want to change and what they want to keep in their life. If it could come down to two things that really people are wanting to do, what behaviors are they wanting to change and what behaviors are they wanting to start? And according to research, 60% of Americans make resolutions. Okay, that means 40% of Americans are either fully satisfied with where God has them in their life at this exact time, satisfied with the fit of their body. But let's be honest, I think that 40% probably is the more in touch with their own reality that, like, if I start this thing, I'm not going to finish it. So why even start it in the first place? But of those 60% that actually start their resolution, 70%, fun fact, are focused on health and fitness related goals. And so there we see the health and fitness related, 70% of those 60% are worried about kind of their general appearance and physique. But then you have, of those 60%, what we have happen is only 8% follow through with the resolutions they start. And I'm wondering this morning as I come to you ready to inspire you, I would be satisfied if I could inspire 60% of you to walk out of this room today ready to change the behavior that we want to talk about today when it comes to our conversation of being built to connect. But I would be sad if only 8% of us, December 31st, 2020, come to a place where I don't think I started out well, but I didn't finish strong. So I want to encourage you today that there may become moments in this connection relationships that we're going to talk about today where some things just stink. Life doesn't go the way that you have, because it's easy for us to get excited when we're putting in the notes in our phone, everything that we're going to change in the new year. And then like gym day one happens and we have to like, okay, we got to maintain. But then like the pain comes in the midst of the workout and you have to choose, are you going to work through the pain or are you going to stay in that moment? Are you going to stay in that place and say, you know what, this stinks. I'm not going to go with it. For me personally, December 31st, I decided there was something that I didn't want to carry with me into the new year, but it followed me anyway. But I was determined to deal with it because as my wife and I were out to dinner on New Year's Eve, she said, honey, did you hit your head? And I said, no, I don't remember you hitting me. You know what? I only make that joke because everybody, and I'll get to the story of what's happening on my head in a minute. But every time I've interacted with some of you, you said, oh my gosh, did Katie hit you? So first, I think we need to take a pause and assess some character in the room. So one, the assumption is I have the character that is worthy of being smacked inside the head to that level. First off, that's mildly offensive. The other characteristic assumption is that my wife is so violent and prone to anger that she would actually wield a pot, a pan, a shoe, whatever is closest to her, just to hit me. So can I be safe to assume those are not true about our family? The fact is, I thought I was just having a breakout, but then it just kept breaking out. It just kept getting bigger. And actually, about Thursday, I went to urgent care, which Aaron doesn't normally go see doctors because Aaron doesn't like waiting. Aaron doesn't like dealing with insurance. Aaron doesn't mind needles, but that's a conversation for another time. But all this being said is that this mass on my forehead just kept growing to the point where it was not just here. It was beginning to swell into my eyes. And I was actually... My wife still doesn't know if she's married to the same person because the swelling just hasn't quite gone down because apparently antibiotics don't happen like us millennials just want them to happen. You have to wait. It's like dial-up for healthcare. It stinks. It just stinks. And so in the midst of this moment, in the midst of this place, I was determined, like, I don't want to have any more connection with this. I don't want to have any more relationship. Even when I sat down in the urgent care, I said, Doc, we got to do something because I got to talk in front of 300 people on Sunday. And my wife's makeup artistry is good, but this is the challenge of the decade. And we're just getting started. And so I'm just sitting here wondering what this journey is going to mean for me. But then, you know, it's either the way of the Holy Spirit or the way of a pastor that actually settles into making every life experience into a sermon illustration. So I'm going to go with probably the Holy Spirit, but could be a little bit of that pastoral hat that, well, if I'm going to deal with this, you get to glean from it just as well. So I'm realizing that I don't want to have a connection with this. I don't want to have a relationship with this. I don't want to carry this around with me the rest of the year. Because this stinks. Can I be honest? How many of you would just want to crawl in a hole and die versus saying, okay, you get to talk in front of a bunch of people with a mask protruding from your head and some creature known from Star Trek is overtaking the stage. And you're sitting there wondering, oh my gosh, what is happening? You do. But how many times in our own life do we find ourselves in that exact spot with something else in our life that we say, this does stink. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want this to be a part of my life. I know that everybody, when they look at me, they see it. I know when they look at me, they see my struggle. I know when they look at me, they only see my mess, but not what God's doing on the inside, not God, what God is working on in and through me. So I'm wondering today, I know I poke fun at this abscess that's overtaking my forehead, but can I say there are places in our life and I want us to journey to today, that there are moments where we have things that stink in our life. And as we're going through a conversation that we're built to connect, one of the things the enemy does to keep us from connecting to the right things is just to get stuck in stinky relationships. And what I mean by relationships, because relationships are actually the building blocks of life. And so what I want to talk about is just the different aspects of what relationships mean for you. Because there are moments where we begin to say, okay, I was born. That's a good step. Well, let's be honest. I was born. I was a little smaller then. And then I grew up. And then I had different influences come into my life. And I began to just build my world. I began to structure the way that life was going to look for Aaron. And I realized that, you know what, it's so much bigger than my house, so I just began to grow, and I began to expand, and I began to have a faith journey, and I began to have conversations with God, and I go to school and build different relationships. So my world just begins to be built. But how it gets built is not just me going and interacting through inanimate objects. Do you realize that our worlds are just a collection of relationships? That relationships are the building blocks of your life. Think about it. You can't go to your workplace without interacting with people unless you're blessed with that job. You can't go to your family and try to build a family without relationships. I'll let you figure out the scientific method on that one. You cannot interact, build, and can I say this much? Engage in the church community and build a healthy relationship with God without having healthy relationships with others. Because here's where we have to find ourselves in the building blocks of life. Because there are different moments. Because you might be here and you start out as a kid and your parents drive you to school and you're interacting and it's a great moment for you. It's a great time for you. And then you grow up and then you're like, oh yes, I'm gonna have a perfect house. I'm gonna have a perfect family. It's gonna be great. And then as you're beginning to build your relationship with your family and your spouse, you come back to this place where you roll up to work and then again, unless you're that lucky person, you have to work with people. And when you work with people, you know, you got Harry and you have Lloyd. And they're just going to be up to just wild and crazy interactive schemes that are just going to create fun moments. But there's also those times where you look at Harry and you're like, are you stupid or something? How could you be any dumber? But in that moment, you see that you begin to build those relationships, but sometimes those relationships begin to break down. Sometimes those relationships have challenges. Sometimes those relationships stink. But then let's slide back over here to the home. Because yeah, you got through that honeymoon period, the dating, it was great. But then you decide to add the dog to the mix, and this is going to be great. Again, there's a cat over there, but cats are the devil, so you have a dog. You can question my theology on that. It probably deserves it. But then you're like, oh, we need to add a kid to the car, but oh, my little two-door coupe car is not big enough, so we need to add a minivan to the mix so we can begin to build our family. But all this happens because you're building relationships. But how many of you know over the past 5 minutes, I've walked through a lot of areas of your life, but how many of you know, if you would say, Pastor Aaron, if you spent 5 minutes in some of my relationships at work, if you spent 5 minutes in some of my relationships at home, you would see something that just stinks. And how do I work through that? How do I get through that? But then your daughter grows up and she gets old and she goes to school and she begins to build relationships with their friends. And then all these relationships just continue to follow you, follow your children. Life happens because relationships are the building blocks of life. So I have to encourage you today that relationships matter. Who you surround yourself with matters. If I could say this, I want to quote Jim Rohn when he says, you are the average of the top 5 people you spend the most time with. Consider that for a moment. Maybe when you're in your nav group this week and you're dialoguing, take out a piece of paper, take out a note in your phone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, list the 5 people that you spend the most time with and say, is that who I want to become? If I can make it more practical, if you feel like just your work relationships stink, can I encourage you just to come into this moment and list the 5 people, maybe even just the 3 people at work that you deal the most with and say, what can I do? What influences are they having on me? What influences am I having on them that's allowing to shape them? So take it area of life by area of life versus just starting with the big 5. But you are the average of the top 5 people you spend the most time with. You want to see if that's a scriptural context? It absolutely is. Proverbs 13:20 says this, when it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Think about that. Who you surround with determines who you will become. Another way to say it is a quote that you've probably heard that's kind of just an adaptation of this proverb. It says, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me those key influencers in your life and I will show you where you're going. I know working with students, I can spend moments with them, and just by getting a little glimpse into their social life, I can tell you the trajectory of where they're going. But it doesn't have to stay there. Those 5 people don't have to stay there. Because in those relationships that stink, we can have 2 options. We can work on them, or we can work our way out of them. Because a good evaluation tool is this. When you're wanting to say, okay, is this a good relationship or something? When I want to determine the richness of a relationship, so think with me for a second. If I want to determine the richness of my relationships in any area of my life, I want to talk about the poor ratio. And you're like, what's the poor ratio? If we could go to the next slide, the poor ratio is this. How much are you having to pour out in this relationship? And how much are they actually pouring back in to you? Now, let me make a little disclaimer. There are moments in your life where it's okay for this ratio to flux. There's moments where times of grief, of times of trial, of times of triumph, where sometimes you are required to pour more into the relationship. You have kids? I know you're probably holding out for that poor ratio to balance out. Because right now you feel like you're pouring your whole life into these things that never give back. They only take, they only take, they only take. But because you're faithful and you value the relationship, you know that in this one, I need to continue pouring into, because there's going to come a level. There's going to come a moment where the richness of that relationship is proven, because they're going to begin to pour back out into you. Because I could go around the room and talk to you, more seasoned people, that your kids are grown, and you could say, I've gotten to the point where I love holidays again, because now my kids are hosting. Now my kids are buying me gifts. And it's like, brrr, that poor ratio is fantastic. And the richness of that relationship is beneficial to you. And you see that value. So I'm wondering if you can consider in your life the relationships that stink and what you need to do with them. To kind of give us a backdrop to our story as we're going to begin moving through each area of our life, I'm just going to give you some broad stroke principles for you to take and work out on your own, work out in your NAV group community, work out with a prayer partner, work out whatever it looks like, because guess what? It's just like a resolution. You start here, but then you have to maintain. When it comes to relationships that stink, you start here and you just maintain it. But as we continue our conversation, like I said, there's two options that we have. We can work our way through them or work our way out of these stinky relationships. And what I want to do is I want to actually look at the life of Peter when it comes to this, because I think there's just different kind of snapshots of his life that we can begin to see what the influence of Jesus and a relationship with him, and just different social scenarios where we see where he kind of struggled with this idea of relationships that stink, and how he had some that he worked his way out of, but he also had those that he worked his way through and four. So if we could, we're going to be turning to Luke 5, 1 through 11. Again, if you need these scriptures, they're going to be provided on the screen behind me, as well as if you need the scripture references, you can go ahead and make sure and get the sermon notes in the navigation app, and those are provided for you as well. But Luke 5, 1 through 11. Let's begin reading. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Obviously, they're finishing their job for the day. You don't wash things before you start with them. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and this is Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little off from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon Peter, being the experienced fisherman he was, he moved on into verse 5 when he said this. Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come out and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. As we move into our final two verses, in verse 10 we see, "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners, who were also there. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Don't be afraid, for now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Here in this first introduction to meeting Peter, we see something amazing happen when God comes into the mix, when Jesus comes and has an interaction with him. First off, the way he always functioned in his world was challenged. You fish at night. You fish in the early morning. You don't fish in the middle of the afternoon. He's like, "We don't do this. We're washing our nets. We're finished. We're not going to catch anything." But he was still obedient yet. He still maintained and pushed through because he saw the value of this man who had just taught. And he began to see the benefits of that. And when we see the miraculous catch, we see Simon Peter hooked. We see him realizing, you know what? What I have stinks. But what you've got, I want. I have to think it's something that's such a deep desire. It's something so deeply moving to listen to that last verse. He left everything and followed him. What in your life that would happen right now would cause you to leave everything and follow something new? There has to be a weight of importance with what Jesus is having to do here. Can I say it this way? As we're continuing our conversation of building to connect, when we attach ourselves to God, we realize there is a value that is above everything. even in the relationships that stink. We see here when it's time to walk away. Because what we see here is Peter realized the environment that he was in was not conducive to the call that God had for him. We see in this moment that the people that he was surrounding himself, the environment, the culture, the things that he was going to be doing, this wasn't going to take him to where God was calling him. So I'm wondering in your life, if you feel like you're in this place where you're stuck in relationships that stink, is it time to listen to a higher call? Is it time to acknowledge that maybe God's not going to grow you there? So you need to go there. Consider that. Think of that. If you're not seeing fruit around you in the place that you've planted yourself, can it be that God is using it to transplant you somewhere else? Because who you surround yourself with matters. Because when you work on relationships that stink, some are worth getting out of. Because those around you should grow you. One personal story to my life that really relates to this point is I remember sitting and having a conversation with someone one time, and they began to just unload. I would say at this point, this is in the pour ratio, this was the time for them to, for me to be ready to pour out into somebody's life, because they began to unload. And how many of you maybe been in a conversation where people just begin to unload on you? And they begin to tell their story, share their struggles, tell me their journey of where they were, the places they were finding themselves, the people they were surrounding themselves with. And they got to this really rough part of the story that I don't think you would ever wish anybody to walk. But then they just stopped and looked at me. And I said, what's going on? And the person said to me, this is the moment other people usually walk out on me. Because they see how much I stink. And they don't want a relationship with that. I realized the weight of that moment as I just leaned in a little bit more. As I decided to pour in a little bit more into this relationship, because this was a relationship I wasn't prepared to walk away from. Because I serve a God. He didn't walk away from me. He didn't leave me forsaken. We sang it this morning. I'm not enough unless you come. Meet me here again, God. And here in this moment with this person, there was a moment where yes, this other person had some relationships that he needed to work himself out of. But I had an opportunity to invite him into a relationship worth working his way into. And I'm thrilled to see that person thriving today. I'm thrilled to know they sit here on a weekly basis and experience God's goodness and his grace, because there was somebody who says, yeah, you need to work your way out of that relationship, but you need to work your way into this relationship. That stinks. This doesn't. So just like Peter, just like this person who's sharing this part of the story, their life was changed when they said yes to God. Their life was changed when they said yes to prioritizing healthy relationships over relationships that stink. And so we see amazing things happening in the life of this person. We see amazing things happen in the life of Peter. After this moment, life was peachy keen for him. He had no struggles. He traveled with Jesus. They built one of the greatest multi-campus, multi-site mega churches of all time with no struggle, no obstacles, and they lived life to the fullest, and it was amazing because they set a resolution at the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and life was great. Can I spoil it for you? That didn't happen. Just like you, in the relationship that they were called into, there were moments that they would say stunk, but they pushed through them. But it's not always easy. If we look at the life of Peter, I love him because he just kind of either tells it like it is or asks the question that everybody else is thinking. Because one of the first things we see when Peter says, he chimed in, "We left everything and followed you. What do we get out of it?" How many of you have ever asked yourself that conversation? I left this life. Let me say it this way. I left this job for that job, and this is what I'm getting. I left this for that. Jesus, what's in it for me? But I love the purity and the willingness to be open, because I think that's one of Peter's greatest qualities. And it can be one of your greatest ones too. To have an honest, open dialogue in those stinky relationships. To have an honest, open conversation. You know what? I don't understand what's happening to me right now. But then we see he was the one who questioned, say, "We left everything and followed you. What do we get from it?" And then in Matthew 16, at one point, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah and has a huge moment. Like, this is great. This is the one like they make plays about. And then about a few verses later, something else happens. Because until a few verses later, when Jesus is predicting his death, Peter then says, "He will never let this happen." And Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, we always want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I don't think we ever want to be in a position where he says, "Get behind me, you're not getting the picture." But even in the midst of that moment, Peter still pressed through. But can I be honest? Sometimes life has those small, stinky moments that we can push through, or they do push us away. But how many of you know there's sometimes those stinky relationships that they can break us, or it feels like they can break us? Because if we could read this next part of Peter's story, it comes from Mark 14, starting in verse 66. This is where Jesus has just been arrested, and Jesus has predicted that Peter's going to deny him. And he's like, "No, it's not going to happen. I love you, Lord. I would never do that." And then we pick up in verse 66, that while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself and looked closely at him, she said, "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. He says, "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, saying, "I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately, just as Jesus had predicted, the rooster crowed the second time. And in that moment, Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he began to break down and weep. Here in this moment, can I say, have you ever been in that spot? Maybe it's a relationship at work, at school, with your friends. Maybe it's a relationship at home, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your parents. It feels like you're just ready to walk away, deny the relationship ever happened, because it's more worth walking away from the pain and facing it. Is that a place that you can find yourself in? Is that a place like you can identify with Peter in this moment? What did Peter do? He defaulted to the old way. He defaulted to that stinky relationship, because where do we find him again? Fishing. The same sea, maybe in the same boat. Because how many of you have maybe tried to do the right thing, tried to do this healthy thing, knew it was the resolution that you wanted to make, the life change that you wanted to succeed at, but then it was, in your mind, so much easier to walk back to the old thing? Because you could predict that. At least you knew the hurt. You knew the life that you would have there. So we can think through all the scenarios of our own relationships with coworkers, friends, and family that stink. But What if you come to the spot in your life where your relationship with God stinks? Can you think with me for a moment? What about that? How many of you maybe have served God a long time, and another word to say it, it's stale? You're not finding life in it. It stinks. Peter got it. I get it. I've been there. Maybe you have too. But Peter didn't stay there. You don't have to stay there. I don't have to stay there. Because one of the beautiful things we see on the other side of the cross is now that Peter has made this act of denying and disowning Jesus, he's gone back to his other way of life. There comes a moment where Jesus is resurrected and he speaks to those who came to tend to his body. And actually there's a message that's sent back with them. That go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. I think there's some people in here today that God knows you by name. And in the midst of your stinky relationship with him, he's not quitting on you. He doesn't want you to default to this old way of thinking. He doesn't want you to default to this old mindset that this is the only stinky relationship that I deserve. So I'm going to sit here in this smelly boat with these smelly nets, with this smelly life, because this is the relationship that stinks that I deserve. But God says to him, go get the disciples and Peter. I'm here to tell somebody today that God is saying, go get them and bring them back into relationship with me, because I have a place at my table with their name tag on it, because he wants you to remain in a relationship. Because when it comes to a relationship with God, that is not one you never have to work your way out of, but that's always one you have to work and fight and pray and worship and get in his word and surround yourself with those five people that are going to encourage you. They're going to pastor you. They're going to speak life to you. They're going to be on your side, and they're going to fight with you. I'm wondering, who are your five spiritual people that you're surrounding yourself with in 2020 to become the relationship master when it comes to your relationship with God? What's your poor ratio when it comes to your relationship with other people, specific to your spiritual relationship? How much are you pouring out versus how much are you pouring in? Can I tell you, it's very unhealthy for a pastor just to pour out, to pour out, to pour out, but for me to never go to my prayer closet, never to go to his word and be filled, because some words are just for me. Some words were just for Peter. Some words are just for you. So if you expect to get it all here in the community of Navigation Church just on a Sunday morning, can I invite you to something more? Can I invite you into your own prayer closet? Can I invite you into his word? Can I invite you into Joy FM? Can I invite you into Pandora playlist that plays what you want to hear? Can I invite you into a relationship that will allow you to flourish versus one that allows you to die? God doesn't call us to stinky relationships. He calls us to promising ones. You know what? We were all born separated from him. We were all born in a broken relationship with him. But can I talk to you about one more ratio? And before we put this on the screen, I want to kind of set this conversation up, because I want to visit Peter's story one more time. Because as we look at Peter's life, you know where Jesus meets him? The Sea of Galilee, the place where he first called him. Maybe in the same boat, when he's doing the same job. They do their fish and they're around the fire. And once where he was around a fire denying Jesus, here around a fire, something amazing happens. Because there was three times that Peter disowned him. But here around this fire, there's three times that Jesus affirms him. When I think about the poor ratio, that's off. Peter brought nothing to the table. God brought everything to the table. So the last ratio I want to talk to you about today, because sometimes this is what needs to carry you through every relationship, it's the grace ratio. It's the grace that we don't deserve and the grace that he gives. In our life, in our friends, in our family, in our coworkers, in our wives, in our spouses, in our parents, do you know there's grace for every one of them? And sometimes in the midst of the ones that you're having to fight for where you don't feel like you have the grace to give them, you've been around this mountain before, but they're a loved one and we're going to fight for them. They're that prodigal and we're not letting go of them. Or maybe it's just you in your prayer closet saying, I'm fighting for my own faith journey right now. And that matters to him too. Because for every relationship of your life, the grace ratio wins every time. Because there's grace we don't deserve, but there's a grace that he freely gives. So I'm wondering this morning if there's those of you that are really identifying with what I'm talking about. Maybe with relationships, kind of just naturally speaking, but maybe you're also relating with the relationships with God. Maybe you'd even venture as far to say, I cut that off because it hurt too much. Or you said, I've never even thought about engaging in it. But can I offer you all an amazing opportunity to embrace grace this morning? The same God who met Peter at the water's edge, the same God that met that person who I got to have a conversation with, is the same God that wants to meet you right here, right now, and give you a fresh start. Can I give you this encouragement? This is not just, I want to get a quick yes so I can feel good and the rest of my life is going to be peachy keen. Because it's not. Can I tell you this? I've never found a relationship more worth fighting for than my one with him. You hear the people saying it around you. He is worth fighting for. Why? Because he saw me as worth fighting for. So if I could just create that opportunity for you to say yes to him, yes to grace, yes to that relationship, I want to make that the most comfortable I can for you. So if I could invite just everybody to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. But if you're here this morning and you want to start that relationship, and hear me when I say this, if you're here this morning and you want to restart that relationship, there is room for you at his table. There is a place for you in his family. There is a way out. Some of you need to hear that. There is a way out for you by simply starting a relationship with him today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you say, I want that start. I want that restart. I want that new relationship. I want the old thing to pass away and the new thing to come. I just want to invite you to raise your hands just as a simple act with every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, God. I see that hand for new starts, fresh starts, new beginnings, new hopes, new futures. Thank you, Father. Just to help all those who raise their hand say that prayer, can you just repeat after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want a relationship with you. I bring nothing to the table, but know that you bring everything. You bring forgiveness for my sins, and you bring a hope for my future. And my new start begins today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Real quick, can we pause and just celebrate everybody who wants to make that new decision to come into a relationship with God? It is the greatest decision you will make. It is the greatest relationship you will ever get to fight for. It's the only relationship that will change your life forever. He's amazing, is he not, church? But I also want to extend one more opportunity. No, you're in a spot where your relationship, maybe in any one of these areas, or maybe you're here and you're like, yeah, my relationship with God seems a little stale, feels like it stinks. Could we get on the forefront of that? And can we choose this morning to fight for the relationships that matter and know with absolute clarity by maybe the people we surround with, the voice that God whispers to us, the relationships also to walk away from? Because can I offer this clarity? If there are relationships where it's nonstop pour out, where it's nonstop abuse, that's not healthy for you. I want to invite you into relationships that make a difference. So again, if you're here this morning and you have that relationship with God that's just on the fence, you're just not excited about church, relationship, you're just going through the motions, or if you're at work, or if you're in your family, or if you have a friendship relationship that's struggling, whatever relationship that stinks in your life, can I just take this opportunity to pray for each and every one of you that we could start this year right? Drop or change, improve the relationships that stink, and acknowledge the fact that we're built to connect, and we're built to connect in healthy ways. Again, one more time, can I invite you to bow your heads as our final prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these people that have gathered here today to just hear your word, to hear your hope, to hear your forgiveness, to hear your gospel, to hear your grace, to hear your mercy. That Father, as we are going through the building blocks that are relationships of our life, can we acknowledge that sometimes we got to tend the walls. Sometimes we have to do some structural work for our best life ahead of us. And sometimes that even means working on a relationship with you. So wherever we are on our journey this morning, wherever these individuals walked in with stinky relationships, God, can I ask for a renew and a refreshing to come? That he that be in Christ is a new creation. The old things pass away, and all things are made new.